This month, November, is National Epilepsy Awareness Month, and today we're sitting down with Shaughnessy Cargile, who is an educator for the Southeast Tennessee Epilepsy Foundation, which provides a whole range of services for those with epilepsy and the general public, right?
Yes, sir, that's correct.
So for those who may not know, epilepsy is characterized by unpredictable seizures that can cause other health problems. Shaughnessy, what do these seizures look like?
A variety of things. When we go and do trainings, whether it's with children, and we start about age 4, or all the way up through adult, and we talk to police officers, teachers, common man, HR department, students, whoever it is, we try to stress the fact that epilepsy is such a broad condition in that the seizures look very different. So you kind of mentioned it's characterized by unpredictable. Some people, they know it's coming on, so it is a little more predictable. For some people, no clue and it just happens. But based on what it looks like, those around them may have no clue that person's having a seizure. So usually we think of someone falling down, convulsing, shaking, contorting, and that's true. That's a seizure. If someone's having those, plural, they've had more than one, more than 24 hours apart, then they probably have epilepsy. They have a brain condition. But the seizures can look so different. They can look like a blank stare that a person's unaware that they're doing. They can look like sleepwalking, except when sleepwalking takes place, people do things and say things and don't remember it the next day. Where if someone's mostly getting up and wandering around, not doing anything and not really saying anything and not remembering it the next day, it could be that they're having another type of seizure. So they can look very different all across the board.
According to your foundation's website, epilepsy is the 4th most common neurological disorder behind migraines, stroke, and Alzheimer's disease. How likely is it then that a person may develop epilepsy?
Yeah, a lot of people think of it maybe being something you get when you're a kid or you're born with it, and that could be true. It's more common with children. 1 out of 50 children has epilepsy. General population, it's about 1 out of 100. But you know, kind of as time goes on, some people may, quote unquote, grow out of it because they get treatment. Mm-hmm. Then as their brain strengthens, now they're able to handle some of the things they couldn't handle before because their brain was more susceptible. And as the body changes, sometimes when a child hits puberty and starts to go through that because of the physiological hormonal changes, they don't have seizures anymore. They'll always have epilepsy. As of right now, there's no cure for it. Mm-hmm. There's ways to manage it, and that starts with medication. Some people, medication doesn't work, though. And so there may be a surgery. They actually do a brain surgery where they go in and remove part of the brain where the seizures are occurring, because the seizure occurs in the brain. What a person's body does looks very different. That's not the seizure. Those are the symptoms, but the seizures are all inside the brain. And so when that takes place, they'll actually remove that part of the brain. So there's a surgery. There's a number of other kind of treatments, but the main thing is to manage the seizures, manage the epilepsy, reduce the seizures, ideally be seizure-free mm-hmm. for years and years and years.
How important is family history?
It is not the number one indicator necessarily. It can be a hereditary type thing, not just with epilepsy, but if there's something else happening in the family neurologically, then there's a greater chance that child's going to be impacted neurologically, and epilepsy could be one of those things. Or if the child or the adult has autism, cerebral palsy, mental retardation, higher chance they're going to have epilepsy. Just like if someone has a stroke, now they're more likely to start having seizures, to have epilepsy. When someone has Alzheimer's, 15 to 20% of the time, they'll also have epilepsy. So if something's already happening with the brain for that person, epilepsy now becomes more common. If there's something within the family history, brain-related, then it's a good chance that, you know, they could have this happen more likely also.
Now, you mentioned that surgery and medication are two things that are used to treat it. I've also read that changing one's diet also helps. But which is the most common treatment?
Definitely medication is kind of where you try to get people started at. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, probably some people kind of get caught there. Like most things, if we can take something for it and that controls it, that's easier than maybe changing lifestyle patterns. Mm-hmm. And so if an individual knows, look, when I'm stressed and I have poor sleep, better chance I'm going to be a little bit groggy. And if I'm groggy, there's a better chance that I'm not functioning on the right level and I'm self-medicating through over-caffeination, drugs or alcohol. Some of these things start to build up, and these can all be triggers for someone to have a seizure. Mm-hmm. So the medication could be great. They could figure out the right dosage, how many times a day, the right strength, or usually it's more than one kind of medication at the same time.
Yeah.
But if those other things are prevalent, lack of sleep, high stress, trauma in someone's life, et cetera, then it may counterbalance, you know, or it'll counteract it and it won't balance out. And now they might have seizures for it. So medication, but then at the same time, also realizing what triggers my seizure. Some people don't know. there are the common triggers. Other people are like, I don't know what triggers it. It just happens. We've tried to reduce all these things, but we can't figure it out. So medication, reduce the triggers, figure out what's triggering it. And then there's a variety of types of medication and treatment, or the diet you mentioned. There's like a ketogenic diet
that supposedly helps with this.
For some, you know.
So finally, since this month is all about epilepsy awareness, what would you say our listeners should be most aware of, and how can they learn more?
Yeah, I guess just how common it is. 1 out of 50 children, 1 out of 100, or 1 out of 90, depends on your state. Most recent statistics of the general population, 1 out of 50 seniors. And there's a good chance in your lifetime, 1 out of 26 will develop it at some point in their lifetime. So it's incredibly common. But the reason we don't think it's so common is because it manifests visually in so many different ways through seizures that many people are going untreated and undiagnosed all around us.
Yeah.
So being educated during this month would be big about that kind of thing in particular, but also just facts and figures in general. They can go to any kind of social media platform, whether that's Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and look up epilepsy, S-E-T-N. That's kind of the handle, epilepsy, S-E-T-N, Southeast Tennessee. And they'll see a variety of events and facts and figures and things coming up to get involved with. They can go to the website, epilepsy-setn.org, to kind of find out a little bit more. And part of it, we're just hoping by people talking, by sharing their own personal stories, by people looking for information and education and seeing those visuals and being involved in events and things happening, then we'll kind of get us the awareness spread. And ideally, people will get diagnosed this month who have had something happening to them for maybe a while and didn't know what it was, didn't know how to describe it, and suddenly realize, oh, this is what's happening.
Mr. Cargile, thank you for joining us.
Oh, man, I appreciate the opportunity to share.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.